There's okay, so Severus Snape. There's the Alan Rickman. I can do an okay Alan Rickman. My voice isn't as deep as his. And with all respect to the man, one thing that I've been made aware of and thoroughly agree with, I've talked about in other Harry Potter communities, is that Snape doesn't look or sound like him. He's not nearly as old as him either. He's supposed to be like in his fucking 30s or something when Harry gets to school. And 31. I don't think Alan Rickman was ever 31. And like, I've been listening to the HPMOR audiobook, and I'll tell you one thing. The Snape in that is extremely good. It's a dry sort of like, oh, what can I do? Let me find a line that he says. What's the longest thing he says here? Yes, sir. Adding pounded root of asphodel. No, I can't do it. I can't do that guy's voice, but it's like, oh wait, no, that's not Snape talking. That's Harry talking. I've had quite enough of your idiocy for one day, Mr. Potter. I'll be discussing this matter with your head of house and your mother. You know, which is, that's not, again, the actual voice from HPMOR is better than that. I'm not doing a very good impression of it, but it is, like, the voice I just did is too dry, it's too, like, schoolmastery for Snape. Because, I mean, if there's one thing Snape isn't, it's a good teacher. I mean, in this he is, to an extent, but, I've had quite enough of your idiocy for one day, Mr. Potter. I'll be discussing this matter with your head of house and your mother. If you will have no respect for my authority, perhaps you will show some for theirs. Perhaps you will show some for theirs. Ooh, I could do that. I could do a growly Beast Wars Megatron. I've had quite enough of your idiocy for one day, Mr. Potter. I'll be discussing this matter with your head of house and your mother. If you will have no respect for my authority, perhaps you will show some for theirs. Okay, that's the Snape. A Beast Wars Megatron, but doing an actual British accent instead of, like, a waspy accent. Yeah, I do need to enunciate. Let me try it again. I've had quite enough of your idiocy for one day, Mr. Potter. I'll be discussing this matter with your head of house and your mother. If you will have no respect for my authority, perhaps you will show some for theirs. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, okay, that's okay. I thought this was gonna be way harder than that. Okay. Do I want to do it right now? I'll do another one. God damn it. Fine. Okay, here we go. I'm a member of the Midnight. I don't know why the Midnight Crew is stuck in my head. I haven't read Homestuck in years. Chapter 6. Potions and Process. 6 September, 1991. After the events of the previous Monday, Jim was more subdued. Apparently, the other Gryffindors were upset at him losing so many points so quickly, and he'd also received a thorough dressing down from both his mother and McGonagall. He'd written his father to
He'd written his father to complain, but apparently James was in the doghouse with Lily over his own actions. She'd actually sent him a howler of her own that went off in the middle of the Auror's office. Oh, shit.
Let's see how you like it!
And so James advised the boy to let things settle for a while. Not that Lily herself had actually reached out to Harry, who didn't know if she disagreed with James's views on his sorting or was simply embarrassed by James firing off a howler at her place of employment. Regardless, Jim and Ron avoided Harry, although he felt certain that his twin had some idiotic Potter-esque plan for revenge. Meanwhile, Neville Longbottom apparently had some sort of falling out with the two, and made a point of partnering himself with Harry during Herbology. Harry was dubious at first, until Neville nervously admitted that he was frightened of Snape and desperate to pass potions. He hoped that with an obviously intelligent young Slytherin as his potions partner, he might make it through unscathed.
I have three conditions, Mr. Longbottom, said Harry somewhat imperiously. One, we do not sit anywhere near my brother unless absolutely necessary.
Oh, fuck, I gotta do Neville. Because I've burned my normal Neville voice on Theo. That's how I would normally voice Neville, is the way I'm voicing Theo. Oh, I can take him a little bit northern, actually, because Longbottom Manor is in Lancashire, and I have asked the Sinister Man to put Potter Manor in Lancashire as well. Who's mentioning me in the fucking thing? Okay, there we go. Yisk, there we go. Oh, cool. I don't know, it's fluid in here, but I appreciate the update for people. There we go.
Mr. Potter,
stammered the nervous boy. Harry took a step forward.
Two, from now on, you keep your chin up, you look people straight in the eye, and you always speak with confidence, whether you feel it or not. Because you are Longbottom of Longbottom, heir presumptive to an ancient and noble house, just as I am Potter of Potter.
I see what he meant to do, but what he meant to do was a split infinitive. So I'll fix it a little bit.
And if the two of us are actually going to earn the legacies our family names have left us, we'd both better get started now.
And with that, he put his hand out. And three, you call me Harry. Neville blinked several times. Then he straightened his back, took a deep breath, and shook Harry's hand.
Just as you will call me Neville, I hope.
Harry smiled. He wasn't sure, but he could have sworn the boy just grew an inch and a half. Initially, it was Harry who got the better end of the deal, as Neville was a certifiable genius at Herbology, already able to talk conversationally about plants from the fourth-year curriculum. Apparently, the Longbottoms had made their fortune in the growing and selling of exotic magical plants of all types, and he'd been up to his knees among them since before he could walk. It wasn't until Friday that Harry and Neville made it to their first potions class, and there was a crowd outside the locked door. Harry came over to join the two. Theo came over to join the two. Malfoy followed with a sneer on his face, and Crabbe and Goyle on each side. Harry still wasn't sure which was which.
Honestly, Potter, you're partnering with Longbottom again? You're squandering what little status you have as a Slytherin. You're squandering what little status you have as a Slytherin by hanging with such lumps.
Harry rolled his eyes.
You baffle me, Malfoy. I understand why you're so hostile
to the Potters, though I have no idea what Weasley could have done to make you hate him on sight.
And now you're antagonizing the Longbottom heir? Has your father instructed you to make enemies of all the ancient and noble houses? Malfoy's face flushed, but then his eyes hardened.
I don't think it will ever be possible for the Malfoys and I don't think it will ever be possible for the Malfoys and Longbottoms. I don't think it will ever be possible for the Malfoys and Longbottoms to be anything but enemies after what his grandmother did. After what his grandmother did, he spat.
Harry crooked an eyebrow and looked back to Neville, who took a deep breath but met Draco's glare without wavering.
He's referring to an incident from when we were both 5 years old, during which my gran caused a scene and loudly referred to his parents as Death Eater Swine in a crowded restaurant.
Harry pursed his lips and exhaled.
All right, I can understand why someone might possibly hold a grudge. In her defense, Malfoy's aunt, his uncle, his uncle's brother, and two of his cousins were known Death Eaters, three of whom were...
She's all too posh.
In her defense, Malfoy's aunt, his uncle's brother, and two of his cousins were known Death Eaters, three of whom were responsible for the assault on my parents that left them both permanently disabled, and one of whom was the man who betrayed your family to you-know-who, so her assumption was not wholly unwarranted. Also, his father, whose family has supported pure-blood policies for generations, avoided conviction for a number of Death Eater-related crimes after claiming to have been under the Imperius curse. I'm sure it's just a coincidence that within days of his acquittal, St. Mungo's Hospital received a huge donation big enough to pay for the construction of the Abraxas Malfoy Memorial Children's Ward.
Draco and his minions bowed up as if ready to fight. Harry looked around. The Git and the Weasel were further down the hall, but were looking that way. Jim coming over was the last thing Harry was in the mood to deal with.
All right, listen up, both of you. I am not going to judge anyone I meet at this school based on what any of their relatives may or...
I'm not going to surrender the benefits of having a herbology genius as my lab partner because of something that happened when you were both five. Nor will I blame the Malfoys for something Sirius Black did, seeing as how I looked it up and Sirius Black was one of my cousins, too. In fact, I think, Neville, that he was distantly one of yours. Now then, we're all going to be stuck with each other in some capacity for another 7 years. Can we at least try to be civil to one another in spite of what our relatives think? The three of us will hopefully all be on the Wizengamot together someday. We may all hate each other by then. But can we resolve now that we'll hate each other for things we actually did to one another? Instead of relying on feuds passed down like family heirlooms? Longbottom and Malfoy stared balefully at one another. When the Git spoke up from down the hall.
Hey, Longbottom! Don't let these slimy snakes bully you around! Stand up for yourself!
Neville raised his chin without breaking Malfoy's eye contact for a few seconds. Then he turned towards Jim.
I don't know what you're on about, Potter. Malfoy had just come to me with some questions about his herbology assignment. Isn't that right, Malfoy?
The corner of Malfoy's mouth twitched a bit. But he composed himself quickly.
Quite so, Longbottom. I'm grateful for your advice. You're a credit to your house. You're a credit to your house,
he said loudly before turning away and making eye contact with Jim. unlike some others I could name. Unlike...
What? Oh, the whole thing. Okay, cool. There we go.
Quite so, Longbottom. Quite so, Longbottom. I'm grateful for your advice. You're a credit to your house, he said loudly before turning away and making eye contact with Jim. Unlike some others I could name. Unlike some others I could name.
Jim made a face and then turned back to talk with Ron when the door to the potions class was suddenly jerked open. Professor Snape stared angrily at the assembled Gryffindors and Slytherins, as if annoyed there was no fight for him to break up.
Inside, all of you. Inside, all of you, he barked.
As the students filed in, Harry put his hand on Neville's shoulder.
Neville, he said softly, I'm sorry about your parents. I didn't know, and thank you for being a bigger man than Malfoy deserved.
Neville shrugged, but smiled a bit at the compliment.
He was just lucky that Jim's been more of a prat this week than him. He's been strutting around like Godric Gryffindor himself all week long, and most of us are sick of it. Not surprising. If you happen to know, how is Hermione Granger doing?
You could ask me yourself, you know,
said an amused Hermione from behind his back.
You startled me, Miss... Hermione,
Harry said with uncharacteristic nervousness. He had not spoken to his first Hogwarts friend since before the sorting, and he wasn't completely sure they were... And he wasn't completely sure they were still on a first-name basis, given the rivalry between their houses. The smile she gave reassured him that they were.
Hello, Harry. I'm so sorry I haven't had a chance to come talk to you, but I had promised to sit with Parvati and Lavender in Herbology, and this is our only other class together. Incidentally, the books you recommended were all in...
In the library and extremely helpful, even if most Gryffindors aren't as well-mannered as Neville here.
Neville blushed at the compliment.
If you're free and interested, Neville and I have a study session planned in the library for our... Neville and I have a study session planned in the library for the free period after lunch.
Yeah, please come, Harry. Hermione's been a real lifesaver.
Sure thing. Oh, forgive me. Hermione Granger, this is Theodore Knott of the House of Knott.
A pleasure to meet you, Miss Granger. A pleasure to meet you, Miss Granger,
Theo said tersely.
Likewise, Mr. Knott.
By the time the four students made it into the classroom, the only seats left were near the front, and unfortunately, right next to Jim and Ron, though Ron, Hermione, and Neville separated the two feuding brothers. Professor Snape re-entered from the back storeroom with a flourish and proceeded to give a speech alluding to the superiority of potion-making to the foolish wand-waving of other branches of magic. Then he took roll, pausing to remark on
James Potter Jr., our new celebrity.
Snape had also glared at Harry when reading his name out, but he made no comments. Instead, he suddenly barked,
Potter! Before clarifying, James Potter! What would I get if I added powdered root of asphodel to an infusion of wormwood?
Jim rolled his eyes contemptuously.
I don't know, sir. Obviously not shampoo, though.
The room went deathly quiet. Almost in unison, Harry, Neville, and Hermione slowly turned their heads. towards Jim Potter in complete amazement. Ron was grinning like a madman, but the rest of the Gryffindors were horrified.
5 points from Gryffindor for your cheek, Potter.
Here's an easier one. Where would you find a Beezor? A Beezor?
Harry saw Hermione flinch her arm and suppressed a smile. It was apparently taking all of her willpower not to raise her hand. "Sunken within the greasy depths of your hair, perhaps?" Jim asked sarcastically. "Another 10 points from Gryffindor!" "My father said you'd be like this, bullying, snide, and cruel, and that you'd probably try to make an example out of me by asking a bunch of obscure trivia questions first thing. He also said to call you snivellous."
20 points from Gryffindor! Did he also mention I can do this all day? Here's another one. What's the difference between monkshood and wolfsbane?
No idea. What's the difference between your head?
I'm just making that up so I can layer something underneath Hermione.
James Potter Jr., will you stop acting like an ignorant praying ass?
The entire class, including Snape, stared in astonishment at Hermione Granger, who had shot out of her chair and was literally shaking in rage at Jim's antics. After a few seconds of dead silence, Snape quietly said,
5 points to Gryffindor.
Hermione took a deep breath and slowly sat down. Snape turned back to Jim and said more quietly,
I've had quite enough of your idiocy for one day, Mr. Potter. I'll be discussing this matter with your head of house and your mother. If you will have no respect for my authority, perhaps you will show some for theirs.
Jim fumed at that, but said nothing more.
However, said Snape
silkily,
in this instance, we have an unusual opportunity to investigate the relative value of nature versus nurture. Mr. Harry Potter, can you answer even one of the questions I posed to your brother?
I'm so amazingly happy that Snape's voice is Beast Wars Megatron, my avatar. I got there somehow in the voice, and I was like, oh god, I can just do that. Great, that works perfectly.
Harry coughed.
Listen, Ron Weasley, you know, yeah, Wingardium Leviosa, you know that fucking,
yeah, goddamn,
stop it, Ron, stop, Accio, bomb,
god, those fucking cartoons are so good. Who's PMing me? Or who's highlighting me? Yeah. What the fuck? I see. Okay.
Harry coughed. I'm confident I can answer all three, sir. In reverse order, monkshead and wolfsbane are two of the many common names for the poisonous flowering plants of the aconite family, and if I had to find a bezoar somewhere around here, I would look for an emergency kit, or failing that, search the storerooms in the section containing animal byproduct supplies.
Explain, ordered Snape, for your less educated peers.
He sneered at a sulking Jim Potter as he said that.
Well, a bezoar is a small stone formed of undigested plant matter and harvested from the stomach of a goat. The textbook said that it can counteract most poisons, although I don't believe it actually mentioned which poisons it would not cure.
For future reference, Mr. Potter, it will not cure poisons derived from dragon's blood or basilisk venom. Though thankfully those are rare. And my first question.
Yes, sir. Adding powdered root of asphodel to an infusion of wormwood is the first step in the creation of an extremely powerful... Adding... Adding...
Adding powdered root of asphodel to an infusion of wormwood is the first step in the creation of an extremely powerful sleeping potion. I'm afraid I can't recall the exact name of it. He turns to look directly at his fuming brother. But I do recall it was on the very first page of the assigned reading. And then he smiled. And it didn't hurt at all. And it didn't hurt at all.
I love that, I don't know how many fics play around with this, but it's like, you know, either Harry was supposed to read a book before coming or not. I remember there's some fic I saw where, oh yeah, I think it was actually Methods where like, but it's not Snape, it's McGonagall, but like she asks Harry a question and he can't answer. So he's like, I'm sorry, I didn't have time to read my books. And she's like, that's perfectly all right. If you had been required to read your books before you came, you would have been told so, you know, and it's, yeah. I know I've heard it before. What like refresh us, because I can't quite recall it. Right. That is so like Rowling. I mean, I do think that she is confirmed. She knew about Snape the whole time. Like she knew his backstory, and that is the kind of thing that she would that she would do. You know, like how like Voldemort is a pun meaning fear of death and all that stuff, you know. Yeah. Flight from death, that is, yeah. Let's see, I gotta... I have just under half of this left.
Curiously, Snape did not award Harry any points for his correct answers, even though he was notorious for favoring Slytherins in his potions classes. The rest of the period passed relatively uneventfully, save for one hiccup.
Yeah.
Snape did not allow Harry and Neville to partner as they had agreed. Instead, he placed Neville with Hermione and Harry with Theo. Neville was initially panicked at this change of plans until Harry reassured him that Hermione was probably better at potion brewing than him anyway. Neville was initially panicked at this change of plans until Harry reassured him that Hermione was probably better at potion brewing than him anyway, and the four of them would be at adjacent cauldrons. There were a few near explosions, but Hermione kept Neville calm and on task, and Harry was close enough to whisper some advice and words of encouragement. Eventually, Neville and Hermione produced an acceptable boil curing potion, as did Theo and Harry. Ron and Jim were less fortunate, their potion resulting in a thick black sludge that melted out the bottom of their cauldron. Finally, as everyone filed out, Harry told Hermione, Neville, and Theo to head on without him, as he had a personal matter to attend to. When everyone else was gone, Snape looked up from his notes to see that Harry was still there. "Class is over, Mr. Potter. Class is over, Mr. Potter. I know, sir, but I would like the opportunity to discuss some house matters with you. If right now isn't good, I would be happy to come back at some more convenient time. But I think it's important that we address this immediately rather than just let things fester.
Snape snorted. I was right. You are just as arrogant. You are just as arrogant as your father and brother.
Not at all. Before this summer, I literally didn't even know who James... Before this summer, I literally didn't even know James Potter was alive. Before this summer, I literally didn't even know James Potter was alive, or that I even had a brother. And I haven't learned anything since then to give me the slightest regard for him. I gather, based on things he said in our brief conversations, that he bullied you when you were at school together. And I can see that he raised Jim to be an arrogant bully as well. But he didn't raise me. And I don't want to spend the next 7 years feeling as though my head of house was an enemy, And I don't want to spend the next 7 years feeling as though my head of house was an enemy just because he thinks he has grounds for hating my birth father.
I don't think anything of the sort, Potter, spat the older man. I know I have reasons to hate him.
With respect, sir, you really don't, said Harry with an eerie calm.
Explain yourself. Explain yourself, Snape snarled.
Harry Hunting.
Snape blinked in confusion at the odd expression.
What?
Harry Hunting. It's a game my cousin Dudley and his friends invented. They'd count to 10 to give me a head start, and then they'd run after me. And if they caught me, they'd knock me to the ground and kick me until they got bored. They started playing it when I was 6.
Snape said nothing, so Harry continued.
In the summers, they had a special variation. Dudley's Aunt Marge would come to stay with us. She raised dogs and always came with a pit bull named Ripper. Instead of chasing me themselves, they'd just sick the dog on me. I have a bite mark I can show you from when I was 7, and it got me before I was tall enough and fast enough to... I have a bite mark I can show you from when I was seven and it got me before I was tall enough and fast enough to climb trees. From the age of about four, I cooked for the Dursleys, cleaned for them, did yard work for them. Sometimes the Dursleys deliberately spilled things on the floor because I was done with my chores, and they didn't want me to have any free time. At nights I slept in a boot cupboard. My medical records include one broken arm, a fractured clavicle, and at least 4 cracked ribs. Until I started primary school at the age of 6, I literally thought my name was Freak, because that's what everyone called me. Because that's what everyone called me. Uncle Vernon and Aunt Petunia had to sit me down the night before primary school started and explain that other people would call me Harry Potter. So I shouldn't act surprised by it. But in their house I shouldn't expect to be called anything but Freak or Boy. And as near as I can tell, all of that happens to me simply because James Potter and Lily Potter and Albus Dumbledore thought keeping me around was inconvenient and would complicate the more important task of raising the boy who lived into the wonderful specimen of humanity he is today.
Harry stood up. Harry stood and picked up his book bag.
I haven't told you any of this because I expect pity. And certainly not because I expect you to do anything about it. I've never met a grown-up who did anything to help me in any way. But I want you to understand one thing. You have no idea about what it means to hate James Potter. Then he walked to the door and opened it. Until next class, sir,
Potter!
The boy turned back. Snape hesitated, and then sneered at him.
Your hair looks ridiculous. Like some lazy Gryffindor who just rolled out of bed. Get it taken care of before you embarrass your house any more with it.
Harry nodded curtly, and then he was gone. Snape stared at the door for a long time.
Oh, Lily, he whispered. What have you done? What have you done? What have you done?
Later, while Harry was at lunch, Hedwig flew in, bearing a thick, legal-sized envelope. Eagerly, Harry tore into it and pulled out several parchments over which he started poring, absently eating a sandwich as he read. What's that, Potter?
What? You're fine. No, he says it.
Oh, Lily.
I said it very quietly. I'll make sure it's actually audible. I was like,
oh, Lily.
And by the way, whenever you interrupt me, I was joking about this in a previous recording that you weren't here for. I might sound mildly irritated, and I am, because it's jarring to be interrupted, but that's part of the job, you know? Like, it's like I'm in the zone and it's going to pull me out of the zone, but it's better to fix shit now than later. So, like, don't think I'm actually irritated at you. I'm just like, what? You know, it's like, Mom, I'm watching Transformers, you know, or whatever. Like, it's more that and not actually like you're interrupting my acting time, you know, like it's not that. Yeah. So anyway, I got one more fucking, what's up? Yeah, I was just like, fine. What did I fuck up this time, asshole? You know, yeah. Okay. Got one more little bit.
I'm just like, what's that? What's that, Potter? What's that, Potter? Asked Draco. Some documents from my solicitor. Speaking of which, please remind me to send your parents a thank you note. They were quite helpful. My pleasure.
Draco turned then as the Gryffindors came in to lunch late. Some were chatting amiably while others looked upset, and the youngest weasel looked absolutely murderous. On the other hand, the eldest and most boring weasel looked just as angry, but it was focused on his youngest sibling. Then Draco noticed that Jim wasn't with the rest of his house. Turning to the head table, he noticed Snape entering late, but with a satisfied look on his face. Neither Dumbledore nor McGonagall nor Lily Potter were there. Draco pointed out their absence to Harry, who just crooked an eyebrow and said, "Interesting.
Is this a no-name? It's just a third year." If it isn't supposed to be anyone specifically, I'll probably just, like, invent somebody for it to be later and, like, figure it out in the edit. Like, a Quidditch player or whatever. Yeah. Oh, and I just saw your thing about Harry's voice there. It's like, I am playing Harry differently before he begins learning Occlumency. Because there's a lot of trauma here that's fresh, lifelong, and recently, like, stirred up and irritated a lot. So it's like, he's not going to be, you know, he's not going to be Harry Black yet, you know? So yeah, he's like, in that scene, he'll be goddamned if he's going to cry, but he wants to cry, you know? Yeah, so that was the intention there. This is fun. There's a lot of chewy stuff here. I love it.
It's cold. He's cold. Jim's hot. Harry's cold.
And I mean, part of that is like HPMOR fan, and you know, in my head, I associate like a more adult Harry with a cold Harry. But in this case, it's very appropriate because it's Slytherin. This is Slytherin Harry. Yeah, yeah.
Here we go.
That's not the only interesting thing, Potter, said a third year. I heard that your dad apparated in just before lunch. All the Potters together, except you, of course. The boy laughed rudely as Harry... Except you, of course. The boy laughed rudely as Harry frowned at the reference to his dad. Then he straightened up with an excited look in his eye.
James Potter is here? Where is he? Said Harry excitedly.
After that spectacle, his son, the other one, made in potions class, I imagine he's in the headmaster's office with McGonagall, Professor Potter, and Junior, said Draco. Why do you care? I didn't think you'd want to see any of the Potters, and after Monday, I wouldn't think he'd want to see you.
Harry began sifting through the documents from his solicitor until he found a rolled-up gray parchment, which he pocketed. Then he stuffed everything else into his book bag.
What he wants is irrelevant, Mr. Malfoy. All that matters is what he deserves. Total war, remember? Total war, remember?
With that, Harry practically ran out of the great hall and to the gargoyle that stood at the entrance to the... With that, Harry practically ran out of the great hall and to the gargoyle that stood at the entrance to the headmaster's office. Once there, he sat down, collected himself, and waited. About 15 minutes later, the gargoyle slid aside, and the Potters came through the doorway. As soon as he saw Harry, James's face darkened, as did Jim's.
"What do you want? What do you want?" hissed Jim.
"Nothing from you, little brother."
Harry whipped out the scroll with a flourish and handed it to his father, who snatched it up and unrolled it. Then his eyes widened.
You filed an injunction? Against either Lily or myself interfering with your schooling or your inheritance? Or even speaking to you? Without your head of house present? You mean Snivellus? Why, you little bastard!
James, said Lily
angrily.
You should listen to her, father. After all, you just slandered her and your other son as well as me with that remark.
You know, I'd planned on giving that to Mother and owling you a copy, but seeing your face in person makes it 1,000 times better.
Do you really think you're going to accomplish anything with this little stunt? Said James. In case you've forgotten, Dumbledore is the chief warlock. You'll never let this stand. Oh, I haven't forgotten. Since you broke the seal and read the title,
that alerted my solicitor that process has been served. As we speak, he's filing a motion to force Dumbledore to recuse himself from any legal actions involving our family because of his conflict of interest. After all, Father, you yourself told me that it was his idea to have me shift off. To the Dursleys for 10 years.
Harry, Lily interrupted. I know you're upset about that, and I don't blame you, but isn't this a little extreme?
Oh, hello, Mother.
It's so nice to hear you actually speak to me for a change instead of ignoring me from across the great hall. And no, this isn't extreme. Threatening me in front of several hundred witnesses to snap my wand is extreme. Promising to have me shipped off to be beaten and abused by your filthy relatives, and to illegally disinherit, and to, and to,
and to illegally disinherit me is extreme. And doing all that just because I was sorted into a house my father dislikes? The same one that his boss, Rufus Scrimgeour, was once in? That's definitely extreme. This is just rational self-interest. He turned and walked away, calling back as he went. Enjoy your weekend, Potters. I know I will. And once again, he smiled. End of chapter 6. End of chapter 6.
I also like the notion that when he gets